or oxymora. Chapter 1. This year is going to totally rock, I told Lee. We were sitting on the top step of her front porch, badly bloated and overfed from the heaping platters of an outrageous Labor Day cookout, hosted by her parents, attended by mine, and peppered with a rotating assortment of both families, co-workers, friends, and neighbors. My folks loved Lee. Her folks appeared to tolerate me, though I had a feeling it would be a good idea not to turn my back on her father if we ever went hiking near the edge of a cliff. Dads are excessively protective of their daughters. I think my parents were pretty smart to have nothing but boys, even if they were less than smart about the spacing. I admire your enthusiasm, Lee said. It's cute. You're thinking of the wrong Hudson. I pointed to the curb, where my parents were loading my somewhat amusing, but essentially useless and frequently damp baby sibling into the back seat of the car. Sean is cute. Agreed, Lee said. But there's no quota on cute. And there's a strong biological argument for shared traits among siblings. Sean's cute. Bobby's cute. You're cute. It's a Hudson thing. Suck it up and deal with it. What's wrong with being adorable? That's for puppies and toddlers, I said. We're sophomores now. Don't stay out too late, Scott, Mom called after she'd clicked the 17 buckles and tightened the half-dozen harnesses that locked Sean's Kevlar-reinforced car seat securely in place. You have school tomorrow. It's a big day. You want to be ready for it. I know, Mom. Thanks. Bye. I waved and watched my parents drive off. I wasn't concerned about tomorrow. I'd spent my freshman year mastering the art of functioning without sleep. I'd survived a series of stupid decisions and scattered brushes with death and destruction. What a difference a year makes. Last year, I'd been clueless. This year, I had a clue. The door opened behind us.
Big day tomorrow, Lee's dad said.
Lee and I exchanged amused glances, but she didn't protest. See you in school, she said, giving my hand a pat. She closed the book she'd been reading, but kept her place with her finger. Of Mice and Men. That was our summer reading book. She was near the end. I'd already read it, on my own, years before it had been assigned. Twice, actually. What are you wearing tomorrow? I asked as I got up from the steps. What's the matter? Afraid we'll show up in the same outfit? I think that would be the first sign of the apocalypse, I said. Lee had a fondness for dark, disturbing, horror-related t-shirts, which she alternated with dark, disturbing, obscure band-related t-shirts. For the picnic, she'd made her parents happy by wearing a solid brown shirt, adorned with nothing except one tiny Jack Skellington pin. Her hair, which had started the summer a bright orange, was now a muted shade of deep purple. The apocalypse has been here for a while, Lee said. Have you been to a bookstore or a movie theater recently? Quite a few. Good point. Thanks, and I actually haven't given school clothing any thought yet, she said. I took one last look at summer vacation, Lee, then headed for home. When I'd met her last October, she had so many piercings, I was surprised her spine hadn't snapped under the weight of all the metal. Most of this summer, she'd only worn a handful. I mean, a faceful. Wait. Faceful sounds like a lot, but handful sounds like a little. I guess I'll settle for saying she had a handful of piercings on her face. With Lee, I was never sure what sort of personal questions were okay and what sort would earn me an "I can't believe you just asked me that" glare or a bucketful of scalding sarcasm. But curiosity was killing me. I thought back to last week when she'd come over to show me the camera her parents had given her for her birthday, and I'd finally asked her about it. You're wearing a lot fewer piercings. Your powers of observation remain impressive. She didn't look at me. She was busy snapping her 235th, by my rough estimate, photo of Sean's hands. But I didn't detect any sign of annoyance in her tone. I decided